Well, I'm going to continue. I'm not sure if it's going to be one or two more lessons, but I'm going to continue in these series of messages on the God kind of life. And if you would, let's open to John 3:16. And today we've entitled this Jesus, since we're talking about life, entitled this Jesus is Life. We've talked about resurrection life. We've talked about the God kind of life, the renewed life or the renewed mind. And today we're going to talk about Jesus is life. And in doing so, let's read John 3:16 through 18 together, and then John 13:34 and 35. And let's read together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, we're going to pick up today, as I said, about talking about Jesus. I don't know of a better thing to talk about, another, a better person to talk about, is Jesus. And since we're in the book of John, let's back up to John 1. And I'd like to read let's read John 1, 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What a powerful statement. The Word was God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. He's talking about the Word was with God, in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And we referenced that scripture in previous lessons, the word life. And it'd be good for you if you have access to a computer, just go to the Strong's Concordance. It's a wonderful reference. If you select a word, let's say, for instance, this word is life or zoe, then every reference to zoe is pulled down in front of you, and you can look at every scripture reference where Zoe is referenced. It's wonderful. So we can see that this life, and the life that they're talking about, is the very life of God. It's his nature. And what we had shared in the past was that this life is the light that lighteth every man. It's the light of men. And I think we had made a comment in the past that this light, you could also say, is the development of men. And you can see in countries, and I think I had made that point, if you look at countries in the world that would be called Christian nations, where they say they're a Christian nation, they're not Hindu or they're not Islamic, you can see, and it doesn't mean that those countries are not advanced, they're just not as advanced, they're not as developed as nations that are Christian nations. Why? Because the light is the life of men. It's the development of men. And you can see, and I didn't reference it here, but just go in and type in and ask, look up for inventions that have been developed in the last 100 years. And you can see that most of the developments, the scientific breakthroughs that came through that helped people, that furthered and advanced the world, came through Christians. Why is this life? It's this life that we have in us. And so I always say, okay, why am I not advanced as far as I am? Why am I still bumbling in a certain spot? So it points back to who? Jesus, the life, the Word. And you can see that even, you know, just someone who developed the peanut, he had a relationship with God and communicated with him and asked for wisdom on how, God, show me how this can be used. And they're still trying to figure out, even today, uses for the peanut and the benefits of it. And so I always say, we have inventions. Look at this. We got about 400 people sitting here. We've got 400 supernatural people sitting here who are inventions waiting to happen. Amen. Creative ideas waiting to be birthed. Not out of your head, out of your spirit. And all you need to do is ask God. God, show me an invention. Show me something creative that can impact society. It had come to pass. And I think some of us have not gotten some of the things that are available to us, because a lot of times we just don't ask. We are so involved in what we see that sometimes our busyness is trying to figure out how to fix all of the things going on in our life, that we're so consumed with that we don't even ask God, give me something creative to impact society, to help. Give me a witty invention. And that witty invention can be a water pipe, a source, not only for society, but for you. For sure. So, let's turn over. I'm going to stay in the book of John for a few minutes. And let's turn over to John, where we read. Well, you know what I want to read here. Let's go back to John 3:16 for a moment. And one of the things that I wanted to focus on, because I believe the Holy Ghost spoke some words after praise and worship that I think were significant for today's lesson. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. And that word believeth is a word called pistoio, or pistoio, or you could correct me on the pronunciation. But one of the things, not one of the things, the core of that word, and you can look that word up in every almost every single reference, it's this word. Whosoever believeth in who? Him, Christ, should not perish, but have something. Have what? A life, eternal life, everlasting life. This word, pistuo, means to think to be true, to be persuaded of, place confidence in. See, here's another. It says, used in the New Testament of the conviction and trust to which a man is impelled by a certain inner or higher prerogative and law of soul. That means you're persuaded, you're convinced of nothing else. Let me ask a question. When you're convinced of something and nothing else, let's use a word that we use in the English language. It's called absolute. Let me ask a question. If it's absolute cold, that means it's no heat. Absolute cold means it's devoid of any heat. If you are absolutely convinced, absolutely persuaded, that means there's devoid of any doubt. That means you are convinced. And that's what that word believeth means. Pistoio. It means that you believeth nothing else. And so when you begin to walk through the scriptures and you look at believeth, let me give you one scripture that just immediately rose up in me when I saw that. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Pistoio. It's the power of God unto salvation to those who are convinced, amen, persuaded. And when you are, power. And so, when it said, and the name and faith in the name hath made this man whole. Faith is the same thing. You're convinced. There's no doubt. No, you're absolutely convinced that God is going to meet your need. You're absolutely convinced that when you ask Jesus into your heart, that you're saved. There's no doubt about it. You are absolutely convinced that you're going to heaven. Now, let me ask a question. Are you absolutely convinced? Do you believeth that your needs are met? You don't have to answer. That's a question for you. Are you absolutely convinced that Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses and with his stripes I have been healed. Because it's this belief that causes the power of God to manifest. And I'm not here to ask whether you do or don't, but for you to consider what we're supposed to do is evaluate, to question, to look and see, do I believe like that? Is there something in my life? Would something come up? When something comes up, okay, do I believe? Am I absolutely convinced that God leads me and guides me and directs me? It's this kind of conviction. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's this persuasion that leads us. And that type of faith is what we're to live by. We're to live by our convictions. We're to live by our persuasions. And we're to live by our confidence in Him, in Christ. Let me read another scripture, John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That is the life of God, the Zoe life of God. So this word is not only bread, it is His nature, His life. The word is life. And this word, when we get it in our spirits, will push out anything in our life. It'll correct and change anything in our life that's not like Him. It'll change it. It is life. The Amplified Bible says, it is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatever. There is no profit in it. The words or the truths that I've been speaking to you are spirit and life. The NIV, it says the Spirit gives life. And the Spirit and the Word are one. Amen. The Spirit gives life and the Word is life. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, or Zoe, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now go over to John chapter 20, and let's look at verse 30 and 31. Because I want you to look at this again. We're looking at a few things here as we walk through this. And starting in verse 30 of John chapter 20, and this is in the King James Version, it says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31, but these are written that you might believe, pistoio, that you may be convinced, that you might be persuaded, what, of what? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that pistoio, believing, that you be convinced, and being convinced, believing, you might have Zoe through His name. So when you are convinced of the Word of God, and you're convinced of what He said what the writers were inspired to write. And you're convinced of this and persuaded absolutely. This says here, and that you're convinced of Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. I believe that himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I believe that all my needs are met through Christ. I believe that it's his name and faith in his name that brought me life. And when we believe that and we're convinced of it, I'm not saying that we're not, when one is convinced, the power of God is released. So this here, believing you might have life. I just like that. Believing you might have life through his name. Let's back up to John 17. John 17. Believing you might have life through his name. That believing. John 17, let's look at verse 3. It says, and this is life eternal. What is it? That you might know thee. That's believing. That you might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal. You know him. You have intimate relationship with him through believing. The New Living Translation says in this particular verse, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one that you sent to earth. So as we shared in Romans chapter 1 in verse 16, I'm going to reference that again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the word of God, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, everyone that is convinced, everyone that is absolutely confident and persuaded of. And I like the Good News Translation. It says, I have complete confidence in the gospel. That's the Good News Translation, Romans 1:16. It says, I have complete confidence in the gospel. It is God's power to save all who believe, first the Jews and also the Gentiles. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. He is life and life eternal. And you will have life eternal when you know him. John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. We're looking at Jesus, the Word, And we're going to look at his name. But starting in verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning. Who was from the beginning? Jesus was from the beginning. God was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. That life is Zoe. The word of Zoe. The word of life. So that's why it is imperative that if we are going to grow spiritually, if we're going to grow at all spiritually, we're going to have to grow through his word. We're going to have to feed upon his word. Revelation is going to come from his word. Yes, the Spirit of God manifests himself, and we receive direction, we receive guidance, we receive impartations from the Spirit of God. But if you go, and I'm just reminded here, the man who had his house built, what did he build it on? He built it on what? A rock. And see, I think one of the things, and trust me when I say this, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in the manifestations of the Spirit. They are important and necessary. But we build our house on the rock. We build it on what? The Word of God. And one thing that I have seen, Pastor Clinton saw it, and I've discussed it even with Pastor Judy, because she operates in an office, a prophetic office, and God operates through her. But I've shared with her, I said, one of the things that I've seen is that people that just stay in that camp, flaky, spooky. And one of the things that I've seen, and there needs to be a marriage of both. There needs to be a marriage of the Spirit and the teaching of the Word of God. And when we get over in one area over here and we stay over here, we're out of balance. And she absolutely agreed. She said, yep, absolutely. And so, one of the things you'll see is that that's why you saw the Word of Faith movement rise up. But then just like anything else, that's why Brother Hagin came in. You can have people just sit over here in the Word of Faith and not embrace the move of the Spirit of God, and you're in the ditch. So you need both. You need both. So John 1:1 highlights that the word is Zoe. This word that we handle here is God breathed. The complete Jewish Bible, I like the way this expresses it. It says, the word which gives life. I like that. The word which gives life, he existed from the beginning. We have heard him. We have seen him with our eyes. We have contemplated him. We have touched him with our hands. But it's the word which gives life. Let's back again to John 6. John chapter 6. And let's look at verse 47. He talks about he's the word, and he says here, I'm the bread of life in verse 48. But verse 47, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that, pistoio, believeth, he that's convinced, he that's persuaded on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. The contemporary English version said, I tell you for certain that everyone who has faith in me has eternal life. I am the bread that gives life. This word gives life. What kind of life? Zoe life. It's God breathed. He breathed and imparted his nature into this word. And as we receive it, as we believe it and receive it, it will do what? Impact my spirit and do what? Change my mind, my thinking, my soul. And it'll change my body. Let's go to Romans 8, chapter 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to back up to verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, and that word life again is Zoe, the spirit of Zoe. The spirit of Zoe. Where is that? In Christ Jesus, and I'm in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That spirit, the spirit of life, hath made me free. That means the power that was exerted upon me, that caused me to have compulsions to do certain things, and I had no control over it, I'm free. I'm free of that. I'm free of the compulsions to not do right. I'm free from the compulsions in this life to do things that are against God. I'm free of that. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus. And I've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of who? His dear Son. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh. And he goes on to say that these things I've been freed from. And when you jump down to verse 11 or verse 10, it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is Zoe. It's life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your what? Your mortal body, your dead body, by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That means the spirit of life can influence dead things. That means it can influence dead thoughts. It can influence dead parts in your body. It can influence dead relationships. The spirit of life can influence and change something. And it can change you, change me. So as I am believing, as I pistoio, as I believe, and I am convinced. See, how many of you believed and were convinced the first time you heard it? Good. So I don't have to pray for liars. Because if you did, God bless you. But believing and getting to the place where you're absolutely convinced. I mean, there's not even, when you say there's absolute cold, there's no heat. There's no heat. And I believe someone said that when there's absolute cold, somebody can, if they know this fact, they can correct me, but I believe that I heard someone reference that where it's about minus 400 degrees Celsius, or not Celsius, Fahrenheit. It's minus 400 degrees. Cold. There's absolutely no heat. And no heat. When you are absolutely convinced in God's word, there's not even a speck of doubt. There's none. There's no doubt. And we don't all get there. See, we got there when we believed Jesus. We were convinced that Jesus was the Christ. He came here at God's direction for mankind to reconcile the earth and the man. We were convinced of that. So we received eternal life, and the power of God was released in our spirits. But being convinced is a process in other areas. Being convinced, well, let's go another way. How many, when confronted with some situation in your life, with someone, let's say, how many of us always absolutely walk in love? Well, I could tell that means you haven't. And so the question would be, why is that? See, because walking in love is a commandment where? In here. And so walking in love towards someone is not based upon how you feel, is it? Walking in love is a commandment. And the same thing. When God speaks in His Word and says thus and so, then how you feel and what you're walking through doesn't determine the results, does it? Unless you embrace it. If you embrace natural things, then you're going to walk in that. If you embrace the supernatural, if you embrace God's word, you embrace the power of God, it has the power to change something. What did it say? Everything that was made by that. Was made by the word. Upheld by the word. So that means things that we're walking through, things that we're confronted with, this has the power to change it. this life, this God-breathed word has the power to change it. So when we don't walk in love, let me ask a question. Does that mean, it could mean, that we're not absolutely convinced? Could it not? No? Some are looking at me like, yeah, I'm convinced, but I still want to get my two cents in. I'm convinced, but I still got to say something. I still got to... Well, that means you're leaning to your flesh and leaning to your understanding, which means that God's word hasn't convinced you. I'm just being honest because, you know, every one of us walk through things in life, are faced with the pressures of the day, are faced with all of the things that are going on, and when we don't walk in this, then to me it's got to mean that we're not convinced of it. Because when I'm convinced, then it does what? It directs my footsteps. It directs my thinking. It directs what I say. It directs how I act because I'm convinced. Let me ask a question. Was Jesus, he said, I don't do anything or say anything unless I hear my Father speak or he shows me. So that means he was convinced, was it not? It means he didn't say anything. He didn't do anything. And so for me, and I know Pastor Greg will say the same thing, we're learning how to say what he says and do what he says. And that's not always the case. I'm just going to be honest. That's not always the case. Sometimes we add a little something in and add a little something to the recipe that shouldn't be there. And what happens when you add stuff to recipes, it can make it a big flop. Instead of it being a nice cake or some like a nice set of ribs or a piece of chicken. Somebody said, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's crispy and burnt or undone, right? Nobody likes undone food or overcooked food. We just like it right. But one thing I'm convinced of is that if we stay in the Word of God and we meditate on it, that it will make our way prosperous. What does that mean? We're only going to do what he said, think what he says. And I'm learning, just be honest, I'm learning in life, not to let life's circumstances cause you to think otherwise than what the Word says. And when you don't have an answer, just look to God. Say, okay, Lord, you see what's going on. This is not pretty. And just tell him, this is frustrating to me. My flesh doesn't like it. I don't like what I see. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? How am I supposed to conduct myself in this? And then I believe, since the Word says that those that are his children are led by him, I'm convinced that he'll tell us. But a lot of times we've stirred the flesh up so much that we hear them, but we're like, we're already three quarters down the road going with this and stuff, and we're talking and digging a hole. But he's talking. And we're saying, yeah, I hear you. And I believe that he's getting us to the place that if we can learn that and walk in it, that we'll come up another place because he is life. And when I'm convinced of something, it'll direct my thinking and my thoughts and my actions. And it doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean that we're not going to miss it. But what it does mean is that things that we're meditating upon, be more sensitive to his directions, be more sensitive to his promptings and his nudges. I say nudges, his leadings, and yield to it when you don't want to. That's the spiritual growth. When you want to say something, and he said, don't say anything, just leave it alone. Yeah, but I want to say something. I want to. I don't like this. I want to just tell him. When it's right on the tip of your tongue and you just got to say it, that's the time you just, when he tells you not to, that's the time not to. Because that's what it means that we are to conduct our lives in everything that we do. We're to conduct our lives by walking in faith, by convictions and beliefs that I believe that what he's telling me to do, and when you think about this, God already knows it's unpleasant. God already knows it's not pleasant to your flesh. He already knows you don't like it. You're not telling him anything that's going to surprise him. He already knows it. So when he gives you some directions, I always like to say, doesn't he know? Sure he does. He already knows what's best for you. I know, you know, coming up and working in corporate America, I remember being at a director's meeting, and it was a private meeting. We were out in this property that the company owned. It was about 30,000 acres. They had a nice big corporate lodge. And the CEO was there. And so the directors were there. And it was a time we would go maybe a couple times a year and talk, give us an opportunity to interact with some of the vice presidents and so forth. And so this young man, bright young man, very bright, and the CEO was from Boston. So he had a Boston accent and very strong, and he was very definite. He didn't play around. He was very definite. And he made fun of his secretary's Boston accent. And I sat there and I went, you've got to be kidding. You just mocked the CEO. And that was the last thing. He didn't fire him, but they gave him a nice little job in an office somewhere, and that was the end of that. And so, you know, sometimes you might want to have fun and play, and you better know that you should be doing that. Because in certain settings, that was in a business setting, could be any setting, people are watching you. They're watching how you conduct yourself. They're watching how you talk. They're watching how you live in front of them. They're watching the decisions that you make in settings that some may want to cheat. And some of the executives may know that and may watch how you conduct yourself. And they may be looking for someone who's upright and honest. But you're afraid, so you don't want to, you want to join in and not say anything. See, we need to be led by the Holy Ghost. This life that we have in us guides us and steers us in the choices that we make. And we don't have to be overcome. We don't have to be. Let's look at, I'm going to go back to 1 John for a second. 1 John First John, let's look at chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, for whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world, even our faith. And the word the New Living Translation says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And when it says to overcome, it means to carry off in victory, to conquer. So we've already conquered the world. And what is the world? If you look up that word, it's in the Greek, it means cosmos, is that word. And it refers to the world, the universe, the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, the men, human family. And it says here, which was significant, the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men alienated from God and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. So anything that is hostile to God's cause, we've overcome. The power that drives ungodly men, we've been broken of. That which caused us to be ungodly, walk in ungodly thoughts, walk in ungodly ways, that power has been broken in our lives. We're free of it. Why? Because of the life of Christ that's in us. His life in us has freed us, has elevated us. Now, I just want to finish with this scripture. Go to Colossians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 3. I'm going to back up to verse 1. So Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, 2, and 3, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ. See, when we were yet dead in our sins, Christ did what? He died for us. And we were raised with him. Now, legally that happened, but it didn't become a reality until actually we were born again. But it says, he'd write into the church here, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. This is almost this is an interesting thing here. It says, ye are dead and your life is hid. An interesting, I'm dead, but I'm alive. Well, that's what the scripture says, doesn't it? It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. In Galatians chapter 2. It says, for ye are dead and your life, your zoe. That's what that word life is. This eternal life, this zoe, this nature of God is hid where? With Christ in God. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation says, for you died when Christ died. You died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life, the real you, is hidden with Christ where? In God. Hallelujah. The New Century Version says your old sinful self has died. Your old sinful self has died. The Amplified says, for as far as this world is concerned, you've died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. So we died. And we've received a new life, this superabounding life, this God life we've received in here. And if we're still tripping up in areas, it just means that we need to renew our minds with life, with the Word of life. Your spirit has been changed. It's no longer that you have died. What died? Your physical body didn't die, so what died? Your old nature died. The spirit's still in you, but the nature, the power that caused you to do the things that you did, that's been broken. It died. And you received a new life. You received God's nature. That is what Christianity is. It's God living in me. That is what Christianity is. It's God living in me. His life, not me anymore. And so the power to live above, to overcome the world, is in and through Christ. By our faith. And so for us, I'd encourage us, let's spend more time in the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God, to move higher and to come to another place spiritually. It's going to take that. I know, I'll just share this. I was talking to Pastor Judy about this. And she said, yeah, everybody wants to go to the school of the Spirit. She said, what they don't understand is that in order to reach a level of spirituality, you need to be extremely disciplined. And she said, most people come to the school of the Spirit and they come out and go, ooh, it's this? Yeah. That means disciplined with reading the Word, disciplined in fellowshipping with God, disciplined in your eating habits, disciplined in every area of your life. Because this life that we have in us does what? It directs us, it guides us, it causes us to be overcomers in every area of our life. And we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I trust that some of the things that have been shared this morning just pique your thinking. Because as I reflect, God is saying that there's power in His Word. And the power to overcome is going to come in and through His Word. Because that's where the power of God is. And the Spirit of God will operate and energize that which is in you. And so, I believe God is bringing us to another place. And just like any good athlete, we've had successes, we've been successful, but like any good athlete, they evaluate, they're constantly evaluating their game. And in order to reach another place, to go another place, there has to be adjustments and changes. And any good athlete, they have to invest, what, more time, more effort in order to go to the next place. And I believe that's where God is leading us. It's where He's leading us. Amen. Well, Father, we thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for revealing to us and continuing to reveal to us that Your Word is the foundation. The Spirit and the Word agree, but Your Word is foundational. Your word is forever settled in heaven. And I thank you that as we pursue you with all of our heart and all of our mind, all of our soul, we pursue you in your word and we pursue our fellowship with you, that we'll come up to another place, another level. And I thank you, Father, for it. We give you all of the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.